We are doing a Agadat HaTalmud, and we had reached a moment of suspense where Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai had made it before Vespasian, and Vespasian had challenged him, and he answered Vespasian, and then he challenged him again, and again Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai had a good answer. And now Vespasian says to him, if you're so smart that you knew I would be crowned king, why'd you wait till here? Why didn't you figure out a way with all your wisdom to overcome these biryonim in the city and come here to me? And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, I already answered you that these biryonim, they're also very smart and they didn't let me get out of the city. And Vespasian sealed the discussion saying, I know you already answered me, and I already answered you, and I already told you I don't accept that answer, and I answered you with the allegory of the serpent that surrounds the vessel. And here we see how careful Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had to be to remain on Vespasian's good side, because as we mentioned earlier, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai really had nothing to offer him. And Vespasian wasn't so open to hearing someone else's opinion. So now Vespasian tells him, I'm going to have to go back to Rome. I was just appointed emperor. And I'm going to send a new general here to destroy Jerusalem. So tell me, what do you wish that I will give you? And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, please, leave me the city of Yavne and the sages in Yavne, that there were many rabbis who lived there, and that's where the Sanhedrin was at that time, the great assembly. Leave me that city. Tell your soldiers not to kill out the city of Yavne. And leave me the lineage of Rabbi Gamliel, that is the lineage of the Nasi. They are the offsprings of Hillel Azak and the offsprings of King David. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was concerned that they'd try to wipe them out. And give me, please, doctors to heal Rabbi Tzadok. We discussed earlier how he had fasted for 40 years and he was in a critical state. So he said, please give me doctors to heal him. And we're going to see that Vespasian agreed to these three wishes. And in retrospect, Rav Yosef, who was one of the great rabbis who lived at the end of the period of the Talmud, he was blind, by the way, Rav Yosef, he had a tremendous memory, but he couldn't see. Rav Yosef, and some say it was Rabbi Akiva, who said in retrospect that this was another instance where Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had erred. He should have told him, let us go this time. Here Vespasian had told him, ask me what you wish, and instead of saying, I wish that take your soldiers back with you. Don't destroy Jerusalem this time. So he could have made it sound like, you know what, give us another chance. I'm not telling you to forgo everything, but give us one more chance. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai figured, it might be that if I ask for that, Vespasian will say, no way! So I better try to attain something minor than to try to get more and risk losing everything. And we see here that the Gemara, it's unclear according to the Gemara, who was right. The Gemara begins by quoting Rabbi Yosef or Rabbi Akiva, who says that God caused Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to err at this critical moment. And the Gemara explains that maybe Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai did not err. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had thought of this option and thought, maybe I'll lose everything if I do it. We see that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai wanted us to attain the ultimate redemption, the Maharal explains. With these three requests, he was trying to ensure three things. The merit of the Torah, the continuum of the oral law, by ensuring that the main rabbis of the oral law who lived in Yavne would not be killed out. The merit of the prayer of Rabbi Tzadok, and the merit of people of elevated stature who could guide the people, future leaders, which was the family of Rabbi Gamliel. So we today, the whole oral law that we have today is really thanks to this call of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. We can't know in retrospect who was right. Our sages tell us that when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was lying on his deathbed, his students asked him, "What do you see?" And he said, "I see two paths before me. And I don't know which path I'm going on. I don't know if I'm going to heaven or, God forbid, the other place." And some explain that to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's dying day, he was always questioning himself, "Did I do right or not?" The Gemara questions, "What do you mean? You're such a pious person, you're not sure if you're going up or you're going down?" So some commentaries explain this was his question. He himself, to the day he died, asked himself, "Could I really have saved Jerusalem?" And if we think of the weight of guilt that could have destroyed Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the weight of these decisions, these critical moments in Jewish history where he was the man up at bat, and he had to ask himself for the rest of his life, "Did I do right or not?" And we see that this question perturbed him. To the day he died, he's lying on his deathbed, and he says, "I'm not sure. I'm still not sure." The greatness of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, we cannot fathom. But we can see a little bit, an inkling of that greatness, when we realize that in spite of how disturbed he was with this question, he continued functioning. Not only continued functioning, he is legendary. He is the one rabbi who instituted things after the destruction of the temple. When everyone else was destroyed, the rabbis didn't know how to look to the future. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai came and instituted institutions that we perform to this day. The fact that we shake wool of an esrog 7 days is an institution of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. The Torah says you shake wool of an esrog 1 day. On the temple, you shake 7 days. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai saw the destruction, he had the vision to the future, to look beyond the moment and say, "Okay, we don't have a temple now. Everything is destroyed. From now on, we will all commemorate the temple, and every Jew will shake Lo and Esrog 7 days and make a blessing on it." That's one of the many great institutions of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. We'll take a different opportunity to look at other institutions, but we have to realize what inner strength it took to see the destruction, to witness the change, the Jewish people pre-destruction, he was their leader. Post-destruction, he was their leader. At the time of destruction, he was the leader who went and met with Vespasian, risked his life. You remember, the Birionim were ready to stab him. They see his body, they think he's dead, and they say, "Let's just make sure he's dead, we'll just stab him." He risked his life, and when he got out there, he stood up against Vespasian. He obtained 3 great things for us, what we learned today. Yavne, Rabbi Gamliel's dynasty, the continuation of the Davidic dynasty, and Rabbi Tzadok's prayers. And he continues questioning himself to the day he dies. But that questioning does not cause him to pause from acting as a leader. That is a great person. A person who can question himself. Am I to blame? Could I have saved the Jewish people from destruction? He questions. When the Gemara represents Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's opinion, the Gemara doesn't say Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was certain that if he asks for it he will lose. It doesn't say that. It says Ve'ilu Savar, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai thought Dilma, maybe if I ask for more I will lose. And so he chose to ask for less and spend the rest of his life questioning, "Did I do what was right?" But it didn't stop him from acting. And so we've learned a little bit about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Bezrat Hashem, we will continue. We have to recognize how great a personality he was. Irrespective of the Torah genius that he was, an amazing leader of the Jewish people that is very underrated. People don't realize how amazing Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was and how pivotal he was in our tradition. People think of Moshe Rabbeinu, Ezra and the men of the Great Assembly. By the same token, high up there we have to think of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Yeah.
What if we're in a situation like here and we have to pick, should we, what we know today, make on this decision? Should we ask for more and expect to get less, or ask for less and expect to get less?
So that's a tough question. It's a very tough question. It's very difficult to call a shot on something like that. In spiritual issues, the Gemara gives us a general rule. Tafasta merube lo tafasta. The question that I have, and I don't know the answer to it, the question that I have is, why was Rav Yosef so certain that he could chastise Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? Meaning, the Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was uncertain. And yet the Gemara says that Rabbi Yosef or Rabbi Akiva, two quotes in the Gemara, it's unsure who said it, said, God caused Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to err at that moment. So what I don't understand is, how was he so certain that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai erred? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was standing there, was uncertain. And a later generation looks back and says, God caused him to err at that moment. I don't understand that. I don't know. Meaning, to me, it's something that I don't understand. The general rule we have is tafasta meube lo tafasta. That if you try for too much in spiritual issues, you try to learn all day and focus and get too much, you won't get anything. So better try to get a smaller amount, and at least you'll get what you get. It's better always to strive for less and live up to it than to strive for more and not live up to it. So that's a general rule we have. Over here, it's a different issue. I don't know.
What was his institution? You said 7 days.
Said one of the institutions that we do Lulav and Esrog 7 days. The Torah says you do it 1 day, and by the temple you do 7 days to shake Lulav and Esrog on Sukkot.
Ah,